This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall. Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Ishmael Khawaja.
Hello, hope you had a nice weekend and you're doing well. It's Monday, the 24th of October. Thanks for downloading today's podcast. We start with one of our top stories at Kent Online. A marshal at a paintball centre in Longfield has been convicted after shooting a group of nine-year-olds during a party. Zach Ramage also verbally abused the group of children while he was supposed to be looking after them. Well, to talk more about this story, Lucy joins me now. So what do we know about what happened?
Well, 19-year-old Ramage, who was working at Mayhem Paintball in Longfield last June, was supposed to be in charge of the youngsters, but instead ended up shooting them between the legs, on the feet and in the neck, as well as swearing at them. The paintball company sacked him that same evening after immediately carrying out investigations when they were contacted by the organiser of the party and supported their report to police. Tom Davey, who runs the business, says Ramage not only let myself down, but his colleagues, himself and his family. He's also apologised to the boys and the families and insists steps have been taken to ensure this type of incident never happens again.
What was the verdict in court?
Well, Ramage was sentenced at Woolwich Crown Court after being charged with 15 counts of assault by beating and 6 counts of cruelty to a child under 16. The teenager, who's from Hartlebottom Road in Longfield, was given a community order for 18 months, including 150 hours of unpaid work. He also has to undertake work and a victim empathy session, as well as pay compensation.
But one of the victim's mums, who had arranged the party, thinks he deserves a custodial sentence. Is that right?
That's right. The Gravesend residents told us what happened was absolutely shocking and says it was traumatic for the boys. She wants him to be banned completely from working with children and locked up, but has said she's glad this has been dealt with in court and exposed.
Thanks for those details, Lucy. Our other top stories now. Questions have been raised over the security of a fun fair in Dover following the death of a teenage boy. Mackenzie Croxford Cook was found trapped on a ride in Pencester Gardens in August, and a post-mortem later found he'd been crushed. An inquest has raised concerns about how the 14-year-old and his friends were able to access the site in the early hours of the morning. The hearing's been adjourned until a later date. A man who scratched, headbutted and bit police officers in Maidstone has been jailed. Calvin Stemp attacked two officers who tried to search him in a car park on Medway Street last November. The 25-year-old from Howley Way has been locked up for more than 3 years. Two other men who joined in the assault have been given community orders. It's feared someone could be poisoning cats on a housing estate in Maidstone. Three have died and many more have fallen ill at Langley Park recently. Vets have suggested they might have ingested antifreeze, which is potentially fatal. Other owners are worried it could be rat poison, weed killer or just a bad virus. And a jewellery shop in Maidstone is going to close after 225 years. Cornell and Sons opened on Gabriel's Hill back in 1796. The owners say there's a great deal of sadness, but it's the right time to go, and they'll be shutting for good this weekend.
Kent Online reports.
Now, members of the LGBTQ plus community are calling on the media to help change the conversation, as hate crimes based on sexuality and gender identity are on the rise. It follows new statistics that show there were 839 recorded cases in Kent last year. That's a five-year high. Hilary Cook is CEO of the Medway Gender and Sexual Diversity Centre. She's been speaking to Abby Hook from our colleagues at KMTV.
It's very disturbing that these figures are rising, and we need to change the conversation in the media. The media needs to talk to members from the community. We need to hear the experts rather than the voices of some other people who have loud voices but aren't members of the community.
And hearing from these members of the community, as you said, how do you think that can be done? How can we proactively change the way people are educated, perhaps, about these issues?
Well, certainly the important place is within schools. And I know schools and colleges have been working to raise awareness of equality issues, not just around the LGBT communities, but all minorities. And by discussing the issues and discussing about life in general, that it's okay to be you, that it breaks down the barriers, because barriers are raised by fear. And so it all starts in the school place. And then we can roll it out further. We do a lot of work with organisations about raising awareness, etc., that affect the community, to try and remove those barriers. And we just need to be doing more of that.
And then just very, very quickly, we don't have long left at all. Do you think the mainstream media is a big part of this, as we heard some in the piece there?
Definitely. When you have 4 or 5 articles a week that are framing trans people as dangerous and predators, just the way they did with the gay community in the 70s, they're responsible for some of the actions that are being taken.
Ambulance workers in Kent are starting to vote today on whether to strike over pay. Thousands of members of the GMB union are being balloted in the coming weeks. They say more than 10 years of real-term pay cuts plus the cost of living crisis means staff can't make ends meet. Meanwhile, Kent County Council say they're spending more than £11 million to help tackle the cost of living crisis. Some of it will go towards providing meal vouchers in the school holidays for children from disadvantaged families. The most vulnerable households will also get extra money to put towards energy bills. The parents of a little boy from Faversham who was born without a digestive system, so they're struggling to find somewhere suitable to live when he's finally allowed out of hospital. Little Lenny is having to be fed through a tube into his chest, which makes him vulnerable to germs. His mum and dad are currently on a council housing waiting list, but fear one won't be available in time. ASNL says he's had a very difficult start to life.
He got taken straight off of me and taken straight to London, St Thomas. And when they got here, a small part of his bowel was on the outside and it had actually fallen off. So they had to open him up to see what was actually going on inside. They found that his bowel had twisted off and died while I was pregnant. So he hasn't actually got like any of his bowel. He's not, most people say to me, oh, has he got short bowel syndrome? But it's not, it's more severe than that. He hasn't got any of his bowel. As a mum, it's not nice. When you do, obviously, I didn't know anything like this. It was so severe. So when he was born, it was a really, really big shock to us. And it was awful. You don't expect it.
The family are also fundraising to help them cover the cost of travelling to London, where he's being treated. RNLI lifeboat crews in Sheerness say they're desperate for new volunteers. The team say businesses leaving the Isle of Sheppey has led to fewer people being available to join their pager system. Our reporter Megan Carr's been down to the station and has been chatting with Paul Jarvis, who's coxswain and mechanic.
Well, I've been on the crew about 29 years, but nearly all of that was as a volunteer. It's only the last year and a bit that I've been taken on full time.
And how did you get involved with the RNLI?
Through a friend who was already on the crew. We both worked at the same employer, and he often spoke about it, and then got invited to come down here through him, really. So that's how it started.
So obviously your station's in desperate need of people that are able to volunteer on a pager, especially between 9 and 5. Why is that?
Because I think we've got about 19 crew, and that hasn't really changed over the years, but what's changed is the work patterns of those crew. So we struggle now. More and more of the crew have to work off the island, so they're unavailable during the day, and that's when we really struggle. If the pages go off during the day, we do struggle sometimes to man the boats. So we need to be bringing in sort of new blood, so to speak, training people up for the future as well. So yeah, it'd be nice to get some new crew.
What do you think's changed with regards to people's working patterns? You said earlier that lots of people used to work around here. How's that impacted the station?
I think there's a lot of industries have left the island, which employed, you know, decent numbers of people, and quite often they were allowed to leave. Their employers would let them leave if the pager went off. Those industries just aren't there anymore. There's steelworks, potteries, glassworks and so on. So we've lost a lot of work on the island, so people now have to work off the island, a lot of them. So obviously when they're off the island working, they can't be on call for the boat.
In an ideal world, what would you like to see happen with the station and the new volunteers that you could get?
We can't sort of have a huge inrush all at once because it wouldn't be possible to train everybody at the same time, but we'd like to take on, we've just taken on two new trainees and we've got probably another one about to start. So yeah, sort of two or three a year, ideally. And obviously in a perfect world, they would stay on the crew for quite a few years. So the training, there's quite a lot of training involved and it takes probably a good year before they're gonna be safe on the boat and know the kit and so on and be able to respond to a pager. So there's quite an involved training process. So you'd like to think that you take someone on, they go through the training system, and then they would be able to stay with the crew, hopefully enjoy it and carry on with us for a number of years, really.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with car dealerships in Canterbury and Maidstone.
Thousands of reflective keyrings are being given out to children across Kent as part of a road safety campaign. Our sister station, KMFM's, teamed up with the County Council for Be Bright, Be Seen. It's especially important as we head into winter, as the mornings and evenings are getting darker. Well, Nicola has been chatting to David Williams, who's the Safer Road User Officer at KCC.
So the key message that we're talking about as part of this campaign is Be Bright, Be Seen. So we know that if we wear reflective materials when it's dark, it means we can be seen three times as far away by vehicles using headlights than if we were wearing non-reflective materials. So in the daytime then, when it's a bit sort of grey but not necessarily dark, we want to use nice bright fluorescent clothing. So if we wear bright reflective clothing, then we're covered for all eventualities and it's going to help keep us safer on the roads.
I was driving home the other day actually and quite scarily saw quite a young child running head to toe in black and was actually running on the road rather than on the path. I mean, it scared me as a driver because I didn't see him until I was very, very close. I mean, can you just kind of describe again how much that difference makes in having that reflective clothing on?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, drivers at this time of year need to take extra care to look out for vulnerable road users such as pedestrians and cyclists, because it is darker and it is going to be harder to see pedestrians. But as pedestrians and cyclists ourselves, and particularly young children as well, we can make ourselves safer by wearing those reflective clothing. It means we can be seen from much further away. So if you think about, if the driver can see you three times further away, they've got much more time to react to seeing you there and making sure that they drive safely near you, which obviously we need to be doing anyway, but it means they'll be able to see you further away and that'll help keep you safer. The other thing as well is obviously general road safety behaviour. We don't want to be running near a road, on a road, being dangerous. We need to try and be as safe as possible at all times of year, regardless of the light or the weather.
Yeah, because although some roads in Kent are lit, obviously perhaps more rural roads or some new estates don't actually have many street lights, if any at all. So I guess it is then relying, isn't it, on the lights from the car to see what's in front, and you're not going to be as visible perhaps as you might be on a main road, for example.
Absolutely, yes. And anything that we can do to help ourselves safer and make ourselves more visible is only going to be a good thing.
Now, the Be Bright, Be Seen initiative, I know, is something that KMFM have been involved with for several years now. Can you just explain how it works for us?
Yes, so we've been working on this campaign with KM for years now, and it's a really, really positive campaign that gets a really good response from the public. One of the things that we do as part of the campaign is that the public can apply for reflective keyrings. Either schools or youth groups can apply for these keyrings for children in their school or your organisation. And that means they can wear those reflective keyrings on their bag or their coat, and that's going to help them again to be visible during those darker hours using those reflective gears. The messages that we have played out on the radio and the adverts that we play send those positive messages about making sure that we're visible, being bright, being seen. It's a really catchy tagline, Be Bright, Be Seen. It's a really important message, and it's really, really good that we can work with someone like the KM who really, you know, take this campaign on board and really sort of get it out there to a really wide audience within Kent. It's a really positive campaign.
Schools and youth groups can sign up to the scheme. Just head to kmfm.co.uk. A new leisure complex in Canterbury could include bowling, table tennis and axe throwing. Boom Battle Bar has announced plans to open its first Kent side to the Riverside development in Kingsmead. A pizza place is also due to open there soon, joining the Curzon Cinema. And a new wine bar is due to open in Canterbury next month. Cork was set up as an online business 2 years ago and aims to celebrate English wines. Many of the bottles they sell are made by vineyards in Kent. Their first bar will open in Burghgate in the middle of November.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it's now 7 games unbeaten in all competitions for Gillingham. They've continued their turnaround in form following a 1-1 draw at home to Barrow in League 2. But whilst they avoid a defeat, manager Neil Harris wasn't impressed by his side's performance. This is what he told us after Saturday's result.
Oh, it was a tough watch, gotta be honest. First 33 minutes to be precise, I thought we was really poor. Didn't take care of the ball. Every second ball fell to them. They looked like they played on the front foot. They looked like they watched our game against Stevenage last week. Saw how good we were for spells of that, and came and competed with us. And we didn't reach the same standards. We lost Sean Williams right at the end of the training session yesterday, and it looked like we looked like a team that missed Sean Williams in the first half in particular. We adjusted at half time. Not so much with Lewis coming on for Mika, not personnel wise, just his shape slightly, just to give us a foothold and get around second balls, and even then we weren't great at the start of the second half. I've got to be honest, the game for me really changed on the penalty save. Until that, Barrow battered us for 60 minutes. Glenn makes a save, and I thought that sparked us, which then sparked the crowd a little bit, and sometimes you have to accept you played poorly, but you take your point and move on. You know, I think I have to be honest and open-eyed to it that we weren't very good today. Why, I don't know. We took care of the players this week, made sure everyone got what they want. Made the programme knows we had a 60-minute game for the players that needed it, and the other lads got the training that they needed away from sort of big-sided large minutes. And we didn't start very well, so we have to look at me and my staff and did we get it right in training this week. Also, there's no lack of application from the players. We just didn't start on the front foot or like we had done in the majority of the games. Maybe it's just a little gentle reminder for me, even though we're 7 games unbeaten, we're still a long way from the finished article, aren't we? I think we can all see that.
The Gills are 19th in League 2 and travel to table toppers at Leighton Orient tomorrow. And finally, a bit of showbiz. Katie Baser has been telling KMFM she's writing so many songs right now, she struggles to have a favourite. The TikTok star has been chatting to Numi on the Hit List. She's got almost 500,000 followers and 11 million likes on the site and admits this year has been a whirlwind.
It's been crazy. Like, it doesn't even feel real. Sometimes I wake up and I'm just like, what's actually going on? Like, I did Reading and Leeds. Like, I've signed a record deal. Like, I'm going to the studio every day making music. It's nuts.
It's kind of like living the dream. And people like it. Yeah, because sometimes you can write it and they don't like it. So, doing well. So, you're kind of like living the dream. And it must feel quite different because obviously you had this journey through lockdown where people started to really love you online. And now are you finding it like a bit weird that it's transitioning into your day job? Like, this is your life?
Yeah, it's like, it's weird, but it's not a bad weird. Like, I love it so much. Like, I get recognized in the streets and I'm literally just like, what? Like, there was one time when I was so hungover, right? I looked horrendous and I was walking to get like breakfast and these girls were like, oh my God, Katie. And I was like, hey, like, you okay? And they were like, we love you. And I was just like, thanks.
So do you feel like you have to have that kind of second when you leave the house now to be like, if someone stops for a pap, am I going to look okay?
I mean, it should cross my mind, but I do go out looking horrendous sometimes. So, you know what? It's just real. I'm being real.
Obviously, people are obsessed with you on TikTok. I think you are one of those artists that has really nailed like promoting your single, doing it in creative ways. Like, as soon as I think of Friendly Sex, I just think of you like running through a park just repeatedly, like, we gotta go. How did you kind of like, how is your process when you like write a new song? Do you immediately think about like how you're gonna promote it on TikTok, or you know, what comes first kind of thing?
Oh my God, what a question. So I'll make a song. Sometimes I'll already have made the song and I'll be like, yep, I know exactly what's going on. Other times I'll come into the studio and be like, I have nothing. I'm bad at this. I don't know what I'm doing. This is awful. And then I'll make a song and it'll be fine. And then if I'm releasing it, there is like I don't think about it. Like the stuff that I did on the tube when I was shouting on the tube about my song, there was no like pre-plan. Like my manager called me and was like, what can we do? That's crazy. And I went, well, I could go shout on the tube. It's busy. And she was like, yeah, we'll do that. And I was like, all right.
It's so chaotic. I love it.
If you missed their chat in the week, you can hear the whole thing at kmfm.co.uk. Well, that's all for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. You can also now get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site by subscribing at kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online podcast. This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall.